We're turning in our Bible today to 2 Samuel chapter 11. 2 Samuel chapter 11. And here in this chapter, we find a graphic, a shocking, and a sad story about sin. This story shows us what sin is, and it also shows us what sin does to a man, even a good man. Let's pick up in 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 2. The Bible says, "And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house." So David has been resting, and he gets up to go on the rooftop to relax even more. Now remember that this was common. If it seems odd for him to be walking on the rooftop, remember that the roofs of houses then were flat, and they were made to be a place to go to meditate, to relax, even to read the Bible and pray. So a roof then was used more like a porch or a deck or a patio is today. So David is up there walking and relaxing. He had no plan to do anything wrong. But then the Bible tells us that he saw something. From the roof, he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. So the Bible tells us then that David now is being tempted. This is the temptation. Now, what is David going to do? We know what he should have done. It's easy for us to sit in judgment upon David and say, well, here's what he should have done. It's clear that he should have turned his head. It's clear that he should have gotten his mind off of it. But the image of what he saw was burned in his soul, and he began to dwell on it. Now, here we're reminded of a passage that we have looked at several times as we've been talking about the nature of sin and what the Bible tells us about sin. It's James chapter 1. The Bible says that every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. So David is being drawn away right now. We're also reminded of what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 and 28. Jesus said, "You have heard that it has been said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." This is what is happening in David's soul right now. Temptation led to the sin of lust, and lust led him to further sin. The Bible tells us in verse 3, "And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" So David tries to find out about this woman, and he knows that she is a married woman. The Bible plainly tells us that in verse 3. So he doesn't go into this blindfolded. He knows that this woman is not single, so he can't try to marry her, but the Bible tells us that he sent for her. In verse 4, "And David sent messengers and took her. And she came in unto him, and he lay with her. For she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house." So David committed adultery with this married woman. David is married, she is married, but they're not married to each other. So there's a clear sin of adultery here. This is one of the most shameful episodes in the Old Testament, and it's one of the darkest chapters in the life of an otherwise great man. Now, after the sin was done, she went home. And what we find about David and Bathsheba is that they're both evidently thinking like a lot of people think today after they've sinned. She and David both probably told themselves that it was over, that it was a one-time affair. But the Bible tells us that sin comes with a price. It always does, folks. The Bible says in Galatians 6, verse 7, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." And we're going to find that coming true in the life of David and in the life of Bathsheba. So the reaping begins in verse 5. They've sown in verse 4. Now they're going to begin to reap in verse 5. The Bible says, and the woman conceived. They weren't thinking about that before. They weren't considering that. But the Bible tells us that the woman conceived. So now she is expecting. She is carrying David's child. The Bible tells us in verse 5, and the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, I am with child. And it's interesting here that even though she is carrying David's child and she tells David that she is expecting his child, even though David did some inexcusable things in this chapter, you'll notice that he never said to her, well, you just need to get an abortion. That was nowhere in his thinking. That was unthinkable to an Israelite, even in light of and compared to all the other vile things that we find taking place in this chapter. At least he didn't say that. However, he did do some surprising things to cover his sin. Beginning in verse 6, the Bible tells us that he sent to Joab saying, send me Uriah the Hittite, and Joab sent Uriah to David. Now what David is trying to do here is this. David is trying to get Uriah to go home. Now remember that Uriah is a soldier in David's army, and he is a loyal man. He is a decent man in that way. As a matter of fact, you find that Uriah, in this case, is more loyal and more righteous than David was. So we find that what David is trying to do is to send Uriah back to his house so that he will appear to be the father of this child. But Uriah won't go. David tries it several times, but Uriah won't do it because Uriah said, look, it's not a time for me to go home and relax and enjoy myself while everybody else is putting his life on the line, while these other soldiers are risking their lives. It's not a time for me to eat, to drink, and to be merry. Now, that's basically the attitude of Uriah. So Uriah refuses to go. He is more loyal to David, far more loyal to David, than David was to him. And so now David is really desperate. And he plans for Uriah to be killed, and he enlists the aid of a man that he really didn't respect. I'm talking about Joab. Joab was the nephew of David. David realized that Joab was not a righteous man. Joab had given him trouble in the past. David really did not have that much regard for Joab, but he used Joab here in order to get Uriah killed. They put Uriah in the heat of the battle, and then the Bible says that Joab pulled his men back according to the direction and the instruction of David. David is the one who set Uriah up, and he got him killed. Then, after this, David took Bathsheba to be his wife. But notice what the Bible says in the last part of 2 Samuel chapter 11. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. And this was the beginning of David's troubles. What we find in the next chapter is that the child that David and Bathsheba had died. We find also that God told David that he would have trouble in his family for the rest of his life. And sadly, that's what you find in the book of 2 Samuel. You find that David has trouble after trouble after trouble, especially out of his own children. David did die a saved man. He was forgiven of God, and this is a remarkable case, a great example of the mercy and forgiveness of God. But I want you to notice something here. David was forgiven of God because he repented. He didn't continue to do these kinds of things that we read about in 2 Samuel chapter 11. If he had continued to do these things, he would have died a lost man. And so we don't need to look at this chapter and say, well, you know, a man can live that kind of life and be a rebel against God and live his whole life committing these sins and never repent of them and die a saved man. No, David was saved, and David died as a saved individual because he repented and because he was forgiven of God. But at the same time, throughout his life, for the rest of his life, he carried a burden of sorrow and a load of guilt. Now, friends, this illustrates what sin does to a man. It looks appealing at first, and the devil is always able to paint a glamorous picture of sin. He always makes it appear to be something that is going to be very pleasurable and very enjoyable. But the Bible warns us in Hebrews 11, verse 26, that the pleasures of sin only last for a season. That is, they only last for a while. This is the damage that sin does to a person. Now, friends, we're living in evil times. Television, internet, movies, magazines put all kinds of sinful thoughts into people's minds. The same thing that happened to David, the same kind of temptation that confronted David is confronting men every single day. They're looking at television and they're seeing things that they should not see. They're getting on the internet and they're looking at pornography. And those images are polluting their souls and they're damning their lives. And many families are paying the price for these sins. Now, friends, the only hope for such a wicked world is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because the gospel teaches us how to be forgiven of sin. There were people at the church at Corinth who were guilty of all kinds of sins, including the kind of sin that we've talked about today. And yet, when the Bible says that Paul went into that city and he preached the gospel, the scriptures tell us in Acts 18, verse 8, that many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. And later, Paul writes back to those people, and he says that some of them were adulterers and fornicators. But he said, you're washed, you're justified, and you are sanctified. That happened when they obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. And not only that, the Bible teaches us how to keep ourselves from sin. And this is one of the most important works of churches today, but it's also one of the most neglected works. Young people and old people alike need to be taught and admonished and warned about sin. But oftentimes, that's not being done because too many churches and too many preachers are preaching a watered-down gospel and they're not warning people about sin. The Bible tells us that unless we repent, we will all likewise perish in Luke chapter 13, verse 3. And stories like this need to be taught more often. It's a story that shows us the true nature of sin.